Social marketing can be a really important tool for advancing racial and health equity as we seek to sort of understand our audience's needs, beliefs, and values. We do that to know where the levers of change are, and if we're working with a particular racial or ethnic population that's disproportionately affected by a health issue, it's very important to examine prevailing racial narratives that exist and looking at the history of policies and practices that contribute to inequities.
Hey there, I'm Siobhan Reed, your guide here on Future Health Now, where we're all about advocating for health equity and generational wellness, starting today. If you're a public health professional, parent, or community leader concerned about the well-being of our next generation, well, then you are in the right place. A great way to plug into this community is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at futurehealthnow.com. Where we'll keep you informed about upcoming events, educational content, and ways to stay engaged. Today, I'm thrilled to bring a conversation with Laverne Kennedy, the Director of Programs at FHI 360, an international nonprofit working to improve the health and well-being of people in the United States and around the world. Laverne oversees a portfolio of projects for FHI 360's Social Marketing and Communications Unit, promoting positive social and behavioral change for public health issues, including diabetes, obesity, nutrition, and youth violence prevention. Some of her current projects include the National Collaborative on Childhood Obesity Research and a Racial Truth and Reconciliation Project in Jefferson County, Alabama, which she touches on in this conversation. We talk more in depth about the opportunity for social marketing to influence positive change, advance health and racial equity, her story of getting into this field of work, the hope she sees for our future generations, and more. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Laverne Kennedy as much as I did. Enjoy. Hi, Laverne. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Siobhan?
Doing great. So excited to have this conversation with you today.
Yes, I'm excited too.
Tell me, what do you wish everyone understood about the profession of social marketing and the impact it can have on generational health and health equity?
So my working definition of social marketing is using commercial marketing techniques for social good. So instead of persuading audiences to buy laundry detergent, we persuade audiences to take steps to stay healthy or be physically active or engage in self-care. And so the most important principle of social marketing to me is understanding and knowing your audience. To encourage people to sort of change their behavior, it's important to understand their values, beliefs, and needs. And the practice of social marketing forces health communication practitioners to ask deep questions and put themselves in their audience's shoes. There are so many negative narratives about communities of color. And as a practitioner, you kind of have to suspend your own beliefs about what audiences need to hear and focus on what they're sort of ready to hear. At FHI 360, we've sort of been working over the last few years to deepen our own understanding of racial and health equity and ensuring that when we do our work, we're applying an equity lens. And this sort of means that as part of our discovery process, so if we're doing a campaign focused on African-American women, for example, we would look at history, we would look at inequitable health policies or community institutions that may have caused harm. And we would think about how negative narratives may have moved in the community and also thoughtfully engage African-American women in the co-creation of the campaign. And so it's sort of layering that piece on top of social marketing principles. And we think that this line of inquiry and this process will make for more impactful communication efforts.
Yes, I totally agree. I love the fact when you said suspend the things that we already, you know, believe and or maybe not even are aware of some of the biases that we have when we're trying to put together these communications, and also making sure that the audiences are ready to hear what it is that we're trying to communicate with them. A lot of times I think we overlook that as
yes.
well, and it's very small, but it's very important, right?
Yes, you have to take conscious steps to, you know, kind of keep your own biases in check because we all have them.
Right. Who or what were the greatest influences along your journey that had led you to pursue a career to where you're now leading multi-million dollar health campaigns and initiatives for the CDC and Department of Education, the NIH, and more?
Well, my greatest influence on my profession was definitely my parents, because they both had careers as federal employees. And it's kind of something I can think about in hindsight, because my parents weren't necessarily very overt about proclaiming what I should do with my future. They were pretty loose about that. I mean, their main concern was making sure I could take care of myself. But growing up, you know, I was really aware that the work that they did impacted people's lives. And this sort of influenced my desire to do mission-oriented work. But because I grew up in Washington, D.C., and understood the rhythms of the federal government and actually knew that government can make a huge difference in people's lives, it only made sense that when I moved back to DC, I got engaged in government contracting. And my first project was in public health, working on a youth violence prevention project supporting the Safe Schools, Healthy Students Initiative, which was a grant program that was created after the Columbine shootings. And it provided funding to school communities to implement, you know, different interventions to prevent school violence. But what was unique about the program was that they required grantees to receive training in communication and social marketing principles. And I was a team of social marketers who traveled the country, and we taught school communities how to use those principles. And so, and then after that, I began working on other projects in public health, including topics like diabetes, childhood obesity, and mental health.
Ah, interesting. I think I got my start in the federal space early on too. I was 10th grade in high school. I was a summer student at the CDC.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And I learned about the program from my aunt, because she actually worked for CDC. So yes, yeah, family does have a heavy influence, right?
They do, even if it's not, you know, really overt, but it's very true. Yeah. It just seeps in.
Now, tell me, what has fundamentally changed in the field of social marketing and health communications from when you first started in the field?
So when I first started, I mean, social media was there, and, you know, people were using it. And there was obviously, we were working with school communities, so there was some concerns about social media, but it definitely was not as ubiquitous as it is now. I think there are far more digital channels and ways to share messages. And then at the same time, you know, you have to develop an understanding of how those digital channels like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, you know, how they track your audiences. And so it's really important to get a handle on, you know, what different channels are out there, but then also understanding analytics and, you know, how you know you're doing well. And so, you know, we've been working really hard to make sure we have that expertise on our teams, is just tracking results. But alongside all of this, with the rise of all of these digital channels, anybody can create content and be basically an expert. And so I think the challenge now is that we're in a phase of everyone asking, like, who can you trust? You know, is this information really real? You know, it's like amazing on TikTok, like how many non-medical or non-public health professionals give health advice. And I think misinformation and sort of the overt attempts to put out wrong information is really one of the bigger challenges that we face. My belief is that there needs to be more in-person, face-to-face communication to kind of balance out the digital world. And I would also argue that face-to-face and informal communication is what works really well and is very important for working with communities of color as well.
That's very interesting that you say that. I had this huge vision that one day we'd have a Health Harmony Summit where we pull like Gen Z together and be able to, you know, just really inform the health community in general, like how the younger generation are thinking about their health and, you know, what things are piquing their interests, and just to kind of have like a huge focus group in person where we're having this dialogue and conversation that's really meaningful versus, you know, hiding behind the veil of the advertising or all the different social media, like you said.
Yes. Yes. No, I 100% agree. I think doing more things in person will be a big, big help. If possible, if we can get past the pandemic. Yes.
Right. Now, tell us about how social marketing practitioners can better address and advance health equity so that we can truly move the needle in supporting our Gen Z and future populations.
I mean, I think the answer is in just diving in and learning to be okay with the uncomfortable. I mean, I think health equity and racial equity can be uncomfortable topics. I feel really fortunate that FHI 360 encouraged our teams to come up with ideas for projects that impact racial equity. So we are taking time to do some internal learning, but we are also learning by doing. I lead a project called the Voices of Truth campaign, and it's about encouraging residents of Birmingham and Jefferson County, Alabama, to begin to have deeper conversations about race as a starting point for deeper racial and health equity work. The project is not a conventional public health project, but it does tap into the issues of sort of social connectedness, which does impact health and well-being. We partnered with the Jefferson County Memorial Project, and they do work to educate the public on past victims of lynching in Jefferson County. And they also do work on criminal justice reform. And we partner with Kids in Birmingham, and it's an organization of adults from Birmingham who were teenagers during the civil rights movement and grew up in the 60s when all eyes were sort of on Birmingham. Our campaign is really aimed at adults who have some willingness to engage in racial topics about racism and race, but need some prompting to ease into those conversations. One element of the campaign that we recently created were conversation starter cards that people can play to help have these conversations. And the idea for the conversation starter cards actually came from the younger generation. Several fellows that work on the Jefferson County Memorial Project, and they're from local colleges, they thought it was a great idea, you know, to engage people in this way, to ask questions around race and racism, and a more personal way to engage residents. So we are sort of disseminating those cards for people to play, and we'll capture sort of their impressions. And we hope to do a community mural also and engage people in some type of event in the fall.
Ooh, that sounds really exciting. And I like how the cards are really enabling these kinds of conversations, because it is challenging to just kind of start talking about those things, especially when you're uncomfortable, you're uncertain, you're unsure what's going to offend, what is okay to say, what's not okay to say. So I really like that idea. And
Yes.
I'm so happy to know more about the Voices of Truth campaign. Now, what's the one big takeaway you want listeners to get from this episode? Or maybe even what's the one question that you wish that I asked that I didn't?
Well, I think the one big takeaway for listeners is that social marketing can be a really important tool for advancing racial and health equity as we seek to sort of understand our audience's needs, beliefs, and values so that we do that to know where the levers of change are. And if we're working with a particular racial or ethnic population that's sort of disproportionately affected by a health issue, it's very important to examine, you know, the prevailing racial narratives that exist and looking at the history of policies and practices that contribute to inequities. So I think social marketing in and of itself offers a really strong starting point for engaging in this work. But the bigger key to engage is to not be afraid. It's sort of a process of learning and unlearning and being uncomfortable, but I think the impacts will be totally worth it in the end.
Yes, I totally agree. And I love the fact that you said learning and unlearning, because yes, we have a lot of thought processes and things that we believe or we have just kind of been exposed to and kind of accept as truths when really they may or may not be. So getting that additional insight and being able to unlearn some of those things is really helpful.
Yes, yes. No, I agree. Thank you.
Of course. Now tell me, how can people get more information about you, about your campaigns that you're working on and FHI 360?
Well, we have a website, FHI360.org, and I can be reached at my email, which is lcannady@FHI360.org, or on LinkedIn. Anyone can reach me on LinkedIn as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, we'll make sure that we share that in the show notes. I really, really appreciate you being here today and enlightening us with all of your expertise. And thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's a wrap to another edition of Future Health Now. We're incredibly grateful for the opportunity to serve you with this content and want to stay connected. The best way to do this is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at futurehealthnow.com. While you're there, we want to hear your feedback and make sure you feel this community is a resource that helps you feel best equipped for the public health education journey, one that you'll be proud to be a part of, and share the content with others so we can empower the healthiest, well-informed human population in history. If you haven't already rated the show on Apple or wherever you listen to your podcast, please simply tap the number of stars you feel this show deserves. This helps to get this content in front of more people and again, gauge how we can continually add more value to this community. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help from our executive producer and production team at Chat with Leaders Media. If you're looking to launch your very own podcast in the industry you serve, go to chatwithleaders.com. Now go enjoy a healthy, encouraging, and joy-filled day.